And our guest tonight, Paul Williams, this hour, we're going to take your phone calls in this chopped up program tonight with two special guests. Paul Williams, this hour, and we'll be right back with him. Don't go away. And welcome back. We're talking with journalist Paul Williams, author of the book, The Al-Qaeda Connection, International Terrorism, Organized Crime, and the Coming Apocalypse. Paul, what grade would you give this country in its war on terror?
F.
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 Can't get much lower than that, Paul.
No, like even what's happening in Iraq, the election results are very telling. You know, the candidate that we supported got less than 18% of the vote, and we spent millions and millions of dollars inundating Iraq with political ads, you know, on his behalf. And as soon as this new these two new parties came to power, the first thing they did was establish relations with Iran, and the situation over there is definitely not good.
Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Sure.
We'll pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Good morning.
Good
George,
morning,
Paul.
Hi.
Good morning.
This is Meg in D.C.
Hi, Meg. Go ahead.
Okay, two quick questions. One is, I wrote down borders and mosques. I haven't heard the third thing we can do. My main question is, we're facing quarantine. We're facing for avian flu. We're facing spy chips. I'm wondering how this plus the nuclear threat is going to add up to, say, a power grab by people in the U.S. who have ties to the Middle East, because I see a gap between our government or members of our government and the American people. We have a president's mother who sneers about how poor people are maybe better off being evacuated, and a secretary of state who's shopping for shoes while foreign governments are lining up to bring us aid. I think naively, maybe, or maybe on purpose, we could be betrayed from within. That's my question. I'll hang up the
phone. All right, Paul, I don't know. Do you have a reaction to that?
I don't know how to react to that. It's certainly the government is, not reacting in a. I mean, it's like a confederacy of dunces. We were talking about, you know, the moderate Muslims in this country. Let me just give you a story, and this is related to her comment. FBI Director Robert Mueller appeared at a AMC, American Muslim Council, luncheon as a keynote speaker. He declared that organization as the most moderate of all and the most exemplary of all Muslim organizations in the country. Complimented its director, Abdurrahim Al-Amoudi, to high heavens, as this wonderful moderate and an example. Well, the director of the American Muslim Council was arrested last year for being in cahoots with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda for funneling vast sums of money to terrorist groups, for supporting them behind this benign appearance as a moderate. He is now in the slammer for 23 years. This is the guy that Robert Mueller singled out as a prime example. This is a guy who appeared on the cover of magazines and books as the most mainstream representative of the most mainstream Muslim group in the country.
Well, he obviously picked the wrong guy, didn't he?
Well, I picked they have a habit of doing that. Like the Wahaj, who gave the opening prayer in Congress, and then tapes surfaced of Wahaj praying that the democracy in the U.S. will collapse. So,
see, I think one of the problems, Paul, is also a massive distrust in what so many things have been going on, not only in this country, but around the world. And now when you have the president talking about the possibility of using the military to quarantine areas or cities in the event of an avian flu outbreak, people who have been suspicious of globalists, look at things that are uncovering, that seem to be falling in place, pieces of puzzles, this fear that's out there, this talk about quarantining, the record profits that these oil companies are making. They said today that hundreds of oil rigs have been damaged because of the two hurricanes, and that a lot of them won't be online for at least a year. Yet, here in Los Angeles, an area where fuel now is over $3 a gallon, $3.19 for premium, for example, I haven't seen a slowdown in fuel. I think Americans are getting as much gasoline and fuel as they need. Something's weird here, and I can't seem to put my finger on it, and I don't know what it is. Yes, there is terror. There's no doubt about that, and it's very real. The problem is I think there are groups out there that are taking advantage of a real situation, and they're profiting off it, and they're making billions of dollars on it at our price.
Exactly. Even like the companies that profit from cheap labor by the
illegal immigrants.
Absolutely. And OPMs coming over the border.
East of the Rockies, welcome to, west of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, yeah, hi. I'm calling from Oregon, and I just have a quick question. I'm just wondering if the protection that's extended to houses of worship, the designation, can that be waived at all? I mean, it would seem to make sense that in a time of war declared by religious extremists that their houses of worship immediately become somewhat suspect, and if the FBI can prove that there's weapons dealing going on there in any way, it would seem they would be able to go in and investigate. Can they get a judge or a panel of judges to do that?
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think Congress will do it. No one who's elected will do it. But is it possible in, a time of war that regardless, of the ACLU, can a panel of judges do that for select mosques to go in and investigate? I do believe his theory that this is what's happened. That's where the weapons are being smuggled, and that's where they're going to.
Don't you think, though, Paul, that these places are under surveillance?
Let me put it this way. We know that many of these mosques, like the Al-Salam Mosque in Jersey City, and I could go to any state and single them out, they have arsenals of weapons. And on weekends, what they do is the adherents to these mosques go out to shooting ranges, and I mean they have semi-automatic weapons. They even have like Uzis. They even have grenade launchers. And I mean, for this type of weaponry to be in houses of worship let's face it.
Well, how do you know this?
Oh, it's reported all over the place.
Well, don't you think
Paul Sperry
and the ATF boys would just come swarming down on these places if that was true?
What I'm telling you is the truth. Pick up a book called by Paul Sperry called Infiltration. This is not my book, of course. And Paul Sperry is a journalist for the New York Post, for Investors Business Daily, for Wall Street Journal. I mean, read his book. I mean, he has everything I'm telling you is contained in those pages.
Well, first time caller line, you're up. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I had a question about the Patriot Act. Would that not allow us to go into these mosques? And also, we're concerned with the illegal aliens that are immigrating in here. I understand they have the same rights since they are on American soil as we do. But if we suspect them of terrorism, or as Mr. Williams said earlier, that it's been proven by the MS-13 and everything that they are bringing them over, why are we still giving them the same rights that we afford all American citizens?
Because the system isn't working, and that's the problem. I mean, these people are here to destroy us. And the mosque, as Sheikh Kabbani said, Peter King, the congressman from New York, after Kabbani made that remark, he did some research, and he came back and he said, oh, no, Kabbani was wrong. 80% of the mosque have not been radicalized. More than 90% are radicalized.
Do you believe that most of the illegals in this country, some, 20 million maybe now?
12 million.
12 million. The numbers keep changing, but that they're here because they want a better way of living, or you think they're all trying to undo us?
Oh no, George. Of course, the overwhelming majority of the Mexicans that are coming over here. I mean, gosh, they're coming over here to work. They're the most menial type of work. No, I'm definitely not a doomsday prophet. I'm not a nutcase. I mean, I have a PhD. I'm an older man, and I've never said anything untoward. And
I've not called you a nutcase. Having a PhD doesn't qualify you as being sane either.
No, it doesn't. Right. But what I'm saying is, if you have 12,000 in 2004 special interest aliens entering this country from terror-related countries that have traveled to Mexico to cross the border, there's something fishy there. These people are not coming here for menial jobs, and they're the ones that I'm concerned about. Not the OTMs, not the Mexicans, the special interest aliens. And I believe that these special interest aliens, not, once again, the Mexicans or the Latinos, should be rounded up, but these special interest aliens should definitely be in detention camps.
Do we know where they are?
Well, yeah, 12,000 of them were apprehended. You know, they were apprehended by the Border Patrol, of course. So we had them once upon a time in our custody.
Now where are they?
Well, we put them up in hotels and gave them a hearing date, and they just disappeared. So
they all disappeared?
Oh, they all disappeared.
12,000 people that were all picked up, arrested.
Not one of them showed up for a hearing.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
12,000.
I'm not kidding you. They're given hearing dates. We put them up in hotels. I'm talking about the special interest aliens. But even the others that are picked up, less than 5% show up for their hearings.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with us, with Paul Williams. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is David in Amarillo.
Yes, sir.
And I was just wanting to say that the whole problem with the war on terror is the name itself, because to say, you know, we're declaring war on terror is like in World War II to say that we're declaring war on Blitzkrieg.
Exactly.
You know, we're not going to get anywhere until we declare war on, you know, however you want to say it, extremist, fundamentalist, Islamo-fascist, whatever, until we declare war on that mindset. And, you know, you were talking basically the concentration camps, detention camps, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, we need to reinsert the Sedition Act, mm-hmm. I believe it was 1918. Because, you know, we're at war, you know, American citizens have rights, but if you're at war and you are helping the enemy, we lock you up. That's all there is to it. But I do have one other question for your...
Sure, go ahead, David.
For you there is, you know, I've been listening for a few months, and I remember before August 6th, you know, we were saying that was a date, and then September 11th is going to be a date. That this American Hiroshima could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we keep, you know, pushing it back. And what makes you so certain that it's going to be for Ramadan this time?
Oh, David, I'm not at all certain. And, I hate people who try to predict the future. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that and chatter that it will occur, like I said, remarks coming from Zawahiri, from Zarqawi, that doesn't mean that it will definitely occur during Ramadan.
You're quoted though, Paul, in a major internet site, World in a Daily, of saying is set to occur. Pretty strong words.
Well, that is. I mean, if you read the article. That might be something that was in that article that I wrote. I said, according to sources like Zarqawi and Zawahiri, that the attack could occur during Ramadan. I personally.
Well, I got to tell you, could is far more open than is set to occur.
Oh yeah,
you'd agree. These seven cities, by the way, what are the names of the seven cities?
New York, Washington D.C., where the previous caller called from, Miami, Houston, Las Vegas, George, Los Angeles,
and one more, Chicago.
In Chicago.
All right. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good, sir. Thank you.
It's a good show tonight. I'm enjoying it. But I have one comment that is related to what you're talking about and what you mentioned earlier regarding gas prices. My problem is everybody talks about a gas refinery having contributing a certain percentage to the national gasoline production.
Right.
But I'm not confused about the reason we still have gas. It's very simple. Nobody has yet gotten on the media, an expert in refinery, for example. Nobody's gotten on the air and said, well, yeah, that refinery over there normally produces X number of gallons of gas per day for, you know, consumption. But if it had to, it could produce 10 or 20 times that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has said that. So if to answer your question, the reason, did I tell you I was Richard from San Antonio?
No, but that's good enough for me.
Thank you, sir. I forgot to do that. But anyway, nobody has done that. And you see, the reason we've still got gasoline supplies is because when they did this manufactured shortage trick back in 73, they screwed up. They actually turned off the gas, you might say, by cutting down the oil production. Well, Americans went crazy. The Congress passed a windfall profits tax, which severely punished all of the petroleum industry. And so they said, look, let's wait a generation, and the next time we do it, we need to make sure everybody's on the same page.
That's right.
We'll make sure there's plenty of gas at the pump. It's just going to be a lot higher.
That's right, and we'll make a lot of money.
Exactly right, and that's what it's all about. And you know, to ruin the economics of the free enterprise system,
which they don't want to do.
Well, that's what they're doing. It's stupid because no nation in history has ever, and I'm talking about a successful nation. No successful nation in history has ever survived when their energy costs became expensive.
I agree with that. And if you look at what's going on today, almost every day now, you're seeing American corporations announcing major layoffs and shutdowns, 1,000 people here, 1,500 people here, 4,000 people here. They're talking about it in St. Louis, one of my hometown cities. It's just a matter of time before this bubble is going to explode. You can't keep laying off Americans that way and expect things to keep going. You can't do it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure thing.
I guess it's kind of hard to express the question I wanted to ask Mr. Williams, but I was talking to the call screener, and I'm a firm believer that our country's shot. And what I'm curious about is if, you know, the Islamists, you know, which I believe they're here in the country, this is a legal thing. It's out of control. I mean, I live in Tennessee, and I personally, it's been in my paper and on my local news, they've caught illegal aliens left and right here for the last, pretty heavily for 2 years. And they actually just try to call the INS department in Nashville, and they tell them, you guys got to let them go. We don't have the funds to, you know, deport them. So these officers make the attempt to arrest these people and send them back, and then they say there's no funds to transport them back to Mexico, so just let them go. Well, I mean, what kind of, you know, policy is that? But anyway, my question is if we really fall to, you know, a dirty bomb, you know, and some other catastrophes that, you know, would
Or worse.
I mean, do you think that the people, I mean, your sense of what's the nation like now after years of public school indoctrination into children's minds so that they're so communistic in their views, do you get a feel that for the people that are armed in this country could have a chance after the fall to be able to start the nation over again, or do you think we've lost? I mean, you think about World War II.
Let me tell you what. I'll answer that, and Paul, I want you to answer that when we come back. What kind of a nation do we have in the event of a major calamity like this? Something more devastating than a Hurricane Katrina, a nuke bomb going off in one or seven American cities. I'll give you my reaction. We'll get Paul Williams, and we'll finish up with the rest of your phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, ancient folklore talks about the sun having a companion star. If so, what does that all mean for us? That's what we will do next hour on Coast to Coast with a very special guest. So make sure you're part of the program. We'll be right back. Paul, we saw the way things were not handled with Hurricane Katrina, absolute disaster. So what do you think could happen in the event of a radiological or nuclear bomb that might be detonated in this country or in various cities as well?
Well, if a radiological bomb was going to be detonated, it would have been detonated by now. A dirty nuke is one of the easiest things to make, as you know, George. All you need to do is get some nuclear waste,
right,
from
spent uranium,
right, from like a food irradiation plant or something like that. Wrap it in a stick of dynamite and set it off. If a few dirty nukes went off, though, I mean, the effects would be catastrophic. Something like cesium, one grain of cesium is a bone sucker. If you're exposed to one grain, it'll go right into the marrow of your bone, and within a matter of months, you'll develop all types of malignancies. You'll have a horrific death. If a dirty nuke, a substantial dirty nuke, were detonated, just say one wrapped around several sticks of dynamite, just the conventional explosion would kill certainly a couple thousand people on any given day. But the radioactive poisoning would contaminate thousands.
What do you think the response would be to a country that would not know where the villain would be?
Well, exactly. The villain is, unfortunately, throughout the world. It's Indonesia, the Middle East, Northern Africa, Latin America. We have a problem in Latin America with Al-Qaeda that's catastrophic. And there's a new axis of evil being formed there between Lula and Brazil and Chavez and Venezuela and Fidel Castro. But these people have traveled throughout the Middle East supporting the Islamist and the jihadist and calling for the destruction of the United States. This is Castro and Chavez to the cheers of tens of thousands of Muslims.
Well, I got to tell you, I have heard the Castro rhetoric now since I was a kid.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, what has the guy done to us?
He hasn't done anything. But the point is, right now he has Lula in Brazil, who is one of his prime supporters. Lula has ties to Al Qaeda. Lula has gained nuclear technology from AQ Khan. Brazil is developing, as we're speaking, nuclear weapons. Forget about Iran. This is in the Western Hemisphere. Forget about North Korea. This is right in our backyard. And Lula has made decorations for the destruction of the U.S.
Well, how come we're not focused on him?
Well, we should be, absolutely, because, and then when somebody like Pat Robertson made a comment about Chavez, the news media crucified him. But he was right. I mean, what Chavez, every night in Venezuela, ships are arriving from North Korea unloading weapons. I mean, that's taking place as we're speaking right now.
Let's go back to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, Joe.
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed from Texas.
Hello, Mohammed.
First time caller, long time listener. I am amazed at your guest and the old gentleman to be on national radio talking about putting the Muslims in concentration camps. That, to me, I almost thought I was in communist there, or maybe even Germany, because that's the way it sounds to me. Me being a Muslim, first of all, let me, extend the greetings of happy Ramadan to the rest of the Muslims that are listening. But on the first day of Ramadan, to hear this on national radio, it really, really scares me to see that the fear mongering that's on the air right now. Oh, they have weapons in the mosques. This is fear mongering. This is what it is. I mean, we're scaring the people, and it seems that none of the other callers that I've been listening to have any problem with that. Put them all in concentration camps. I mean, think about.
Oh no, I don't think one person is called to support that.
I haven't heard anybody who has actually posted it.
You heard me say it.
You yourself, thank you. But I mean, it's just it's getting a little out of hand, George. I mean, but if this is it's your show, this is what's happening. This is the world that we're in now, where it's okay to talk about putting a whole race, a whole religion. is the people, the practitioners of that religion, into concentration
camps. Well, no. See, you misunderstand the entire. It's not okay. It's not the views of a guest, in the views of a host, in the views of you. That's what this country is fighting for: the ability for you, me, and a Paul Williams to talk about how they feel. Whether George. What Paul says is right or wrong is what this country is fighting for.
But what you're
George, hold on.
Hold on. Let's take turns.
My words are being twisted. I never said that every Muslim in the U.S. should be placed in the concentration camp or detention camp. I was speaking about the special interest aliens. And George, if you were listening to me, you know I was speaking about them. I said when they cross the border, they're given hearing dates. They disappear into the heartland, and I said that they should be rounded up and placed in detention camps.
Well, but you said go into all the mosques to get them, and I don't think we can do that.
And I'm saying if you find Al Qaeda supporters, Al Qaeda agents in those mosques, they should be placed in detention camps.
How will you
I
know?
I never said that the adherents of the mosque should
go. You're talking about, imagine if somebody said, go into every single synagogue and round all the Jews and bring them into concentration camps and then figure out who's the bad Jew and who's the good Jew.
Jews aren't at war with us, Muhammad. The vast majority of Muslims throughout the world support the jihad. In Saudi Arabia alone, the CIA conducted a survey of Saudis between the ages of 19 and 45. 90% of them expressed their support of bin Laden. That's the fact.
You're talking about going into the mosques in Saudi Arabia. You're talking about the mosques.
The mosques in the United States were built by the Saudi Arabians. They're what? But the prime... 90% of them are Wahhabist. And Wahhabism is the most radical form of Islam.
Well, let me ask Muhammad this, because he's a Muslim. I'm not, and you're not, Paul. Overall, in your opinion, Muhammad, and yes, you have listened before, because I think you've called in before. What is the perception of the Muslims who live in this country, who are citizens? About the war on terror, about this country.
You know what? I can tell you this much from the people that are around me. We all have children. We all live here. We all pay taxes. We work every day like Paul does and yourself do. You think I would want my child to be harmed by somebody else, whether he's a Jew or a Muslim? Oh,
absolutely not. I agree with you.
And this is what scares me the most, George. I understand that everybody has opinions and everybody has the right to an opinion. But it's different when you say you're in a movie theater and you're giving the megaphone to somebody like Paul, who's actually screaming out fire. Okay. Now, for you, you're not a Muslim. Like you said, Paul isn't a Muslim. He doesn't have to bear the repercussions of what's going to happen to the average Muslims that are outside in this country, for those that have their heads covered and are looked at every day, even though they're just fasting in the name of God, the one God, whether you accept who that one God is or not, even though they're just trying to live life. They're trying to see their children grow.
I think you're right there. And the most telling thing, and I've got some other calls, and your phone's breaking up a little bit. Go and see Flight Plan with Jodie Foster. Look at the entire movie and pay particular attention to the last few scenes, and you'll understand this entire concept. Now, Paul, absolutely. You're also right when you said you want to round up these special illegals who've entered.
I do not like my words being twisted. And another thing that I want to say before you go on about Flight Plan is this, that if you have a place like the Farouk Mosque, which is indicative of many other mosques throughout the country that have raised over $24 million for the jihad, that raise operatives for terrorist training camps, if you don't see a problem with that, you need your head examined.
Who said I don't see a problem with that? My point is how do you prove it?
How do you prove it? It's been proven in U.S. court.
No, it hasn't.
It certainly has, George. Just look up the Farouk Mosque. Go to a computer, Farouq, Go to your computer right now and look at their history. That's where the first attack on the World Trade Center occurred, with the imam from there, who is a blind Sheikh Omar.
Yeah, but he's in jail now.
He is in jail right now. But from these people, after that first attack, the Farouk Mosque came under scrutiny, and the information that I just gave you is available to anyone. Just look it up.
But you can't implicate everybody who goes into that mosque.
I can't not implicate, but I'm saying that these activities have occurred at the Farouk Mosque, and they have occurred at thousands of other mosques throughout the country. And when you have that occurring, you have a problem.
I am sure that some people in churches around this country have done some illegal things.
Not like this. No, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. Absolutely.
Look, what I'm trying to point out is that in this country, we have a constitution, and you can't bypass it.
These terrorists in our midst are intent upon our destruction.
I know that. I don't deny that. I don't deny that. But
that's the fact.
But in your eyes, you look around, and you'll make everyone suspect, and that's not fair.
George, I'm saying the people that attend a radical mosque that is engaged in radical activities should be suspect.
Then go get them.
I can't go get them. I'm 61 years old.
I don't mean you. You know what I'm saying.
But the government right now, and that is part of the problem right now. We have nuclear weapons in this country that are ticking and ready to go off. When it occurs, it's going to be too late. It's going to be night. The only thing I can do right now is be like Oscar in the Tin Drum, to bang my drum on a talk show like this and scream. I'm trying to do this as a patriot.
Let me ask you this. If they're in this country, if they're ticking like time bombs, like you say, what the heck are they waiting for?
They're waiting, George, because this is a massive undertaking. They want a simultaneous attack on seven cities at exactly the same hour. That is probably the most massive military operation in the history of the human race.
The longer they wait, the more they risk this entire thing is going to get uncovered and knocked down.
But unfortunately, George, as we're speaking, more and more and more of these special interest aliens are coming into this country. More and more freight is arriving in our ports of entry that remains uninspected.
I don't deny that. I don't deny that.
And more and more of these activities are occurring in the radical mosque.
Yet we're not doing anything against
them. We're not doing anything about any of these things.
But do you agree with the caller that you're going to implicate good people who are practicing people of all faiths, Islamic specifically, and they haven't done anything wrong?
That's true. But it's also true that the jihad that's announced is in the eyes of the terrorist group a religious war, and that religious war is Islam versus Judaism and Christianity.
You know, it's like saying, and this is a far-fetched example.
Not me.
I know.
They said that.
But it's like saying every priest is a child molester.
I didn't.
But nobody
made a hasty generalization. I certainly didn't.
Yeah, but what do you think of now when you meet a priest?
Well, naturally, look, if you meet a priest who has effete mannerisms, you're naturally going to. But if the person doesn't manifest those mannerisms, you won't believe that.
Let's go to some.
I'm saying if a person is manifesting activities that are suspect, and they are, then certainly our eyebrows should be raised.
Look, Paul, you're bringing forward a very important subject that nobody has had the guts to talk about in this country, and that's the very strong possibility that there are nukes in this country. You say they're here. Other people won't even listen.
I don't say it. Listen, scientists from the AQCon Research Laboratory were working with bin Laden. They were arrested. Dr. Mahmoud. Once again, your listeners have to look up this for themselves. And Dr. Majid, from their computer, we obtained information about nuclear weapons that were forward deployed to the United States from Karachi. According to the Saudis, the Saudi Arabians, they say up to 60 tactical nuclear weapons might be here already.
And our friend Musharraf slaps the hand of Khan,
And we're never allowed to interrogate him.
Doesn't arrest him, won't allow us to interrogate him, and he's wandering around somewhere, a very rich man.
And we're exactly.
Which is crazy. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. This is Barry from Long Beach.
Okay.
There's so much I want to say. I just want to kind of address it.
And so little time.
Well, then let's just do a scenario and let's see if we can't do it. I'm going to start off with a preface. I think it was Ava Even who once said, it's better to act and pay the penalty later than react. Paul, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reality is if you look at the overall picture, George, I know you have a talk show. I know your job is to make ratings and money.
Hold on. That's not my job. My job is to try to get to the truth first and foremost, and that's all I care about.
The reality is that we can't afford for Paul to be right. If we don't, you're going to sit there and argue with the American International and the ACLU and defend all of the rights of the hypothetical. The individuals who were, for example, and I think you may know this already, the individuals who were in Albany, two of the people who were released were just indicted. You're aware of that, right?
Yes,
right?
I am.
Good. So the point I'm trying to make is that if we sit back on our hands and continue having these abstract intellectual discussions, what we're going to do is we're going to play into the hands of the individuals who expect us to do just that. I think what we have to do is take a look at organizations like CARE, which is funded by Wahhabism. I think Paul would probably agree to that.
Absolutely.
Right. And what happens is that they put on a real good spin on it, George. So people like you and people like me and everybody else go, wow, these people aren't so bad. No, they're scary, they're horrible, and they're miserable people. And their intent is to make it look like they're on our side. And what they're going to do is they're going to stick a knife in your back.
But
in my
I have no problems investigating organizations, individuals that are strong possible suspects. Wherever they
may hide. We don't have the time, George. If what I'm saying is I'm just making an argument. The argument I'm really alluding to.
Meanwhile, there are other people in this country profiting off these people. You agree with that?
The question of profitability is not as good as viability. If you want to be around to have a talk show and you want me to listen to it, I want to be able to react now. That's the question. That's the issue. That's what all of us has to address. The fellow from Houston is a very interesting individual. It's interesting how he brought up how Jews were going to attack him. I don't think Jews are...
No. He did not say that. He was citing an example.
The example he cited was Jews.
Of course, because how else could a Muslim cite any other thing?
I guess a Muslim might say other things when you have Muslims in every part of the world are attacking other individuals, such as Muslims in India are attacking Hindus, aren't they?
The point is...
That's a fact.
Yeah. How many Muslims are there on this planet?
About 1.2 billion.
All right. And how many of them do you think are evil?
If 1% are radical, and that would be a conservative estimate, what are you looking at?
So, yeah, but you're going... 100 million, maybe. So you're going to go after the other billion four? You can't do that. That's the unfortunate part. You just can't do that. Paul, we agree to disagree on some things, but you're a wonderful guest. We'll have you back.
Can I say one thing before I go?
Sure, 30 seconds.
In every country where in the world right now where there is an insurrection, a war, the Muslims are involved. Right now, every country where there's a war, the Muslims are involved. From Chechnya to Indonesia to Northern Africa, to the Middle East.
But I'm glad you didn't say every Muslim was involved. We'll be back in a moment as we look for the sun's other companion.